Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Tech Guide episode 95. Hello and welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. I'm Stephen Fenech, editor of techguide.com.au. Great to be with you. On this week's show, we're going to talk about the new Samsung curved ultra-high definition TVs, the study that links the lack of likes on social media to loneliness, and Oscar winner Kevin Spacey will be starring in the latest Call of Duty game. In the Tech Guide reviews, we'll check out the Sony Xperia Z2 tablet, the Elgato Smart Key, and ViewSonic's Pro 8520 HD full high definition projector. And we'll wrap things up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products, and that's Netgear. A huge show for you, so let's get started. Well, Samsung had a huge launch of their home entertainment devices, namely their TVs, curved TVs to be precise, at the Horden Pavilion last week. As Samsung tend to do whenever they have an event, they don't do things by halves. It was held at the Horden Pavilion, so decent venue right there. So there was a presentation, there was a reception area, then there was a presentation, and then there was a further area at the back of the Horden where they had all the products set up. And they even had a couple of acts as well. I think Samantha Jade was one of the singers that sang at the event. But the star of the show, though, I think, was the new curved ultra-high definition TVs that they had on show. Now, we saw these at the Consumer Electronics Show a few months ago, but the good news is they are here. They're in the Australian market. They are for sale. Now, these TVs, we had another chance to get up close and check them out. The stars of the show, of course, were the curved TVs, the curved ultra-high definition TVs. They had a 55, a 65, and a 78-inch. Sort of these are the top-of-the-line curved TV products. These are the hero products in the Samsung range, and they got most of the attention from the night. They are making flat TVs as well. Let's not forget that, but the stars of the night were really the curved TVs. Now, the technology that they're fitting into these new TVs, apart from the new shape, of course, that takes a little bit of getting used to. I think people are going to be surprised when they see these TVs in the store, because it is an unusual thing seeing a TV that's actually curved, especially since we've been looking at flat TVs for so many years right now. But also on top of, apart from the shape of the TV, it's the technology that's also under the hood. Part of that technology is the auto depth enhancer. Now, the whole idea of having a curved TV is to make the experience a little bit more immersive. So the very shape of the TV, where the edges of the TV are closer to the viewer as they would be on a flat TV, almost the same distance away from the center of the TV. So that's meant to promote an immersive experience into whatever you're watching. But on board, there is a technology called the Auto Depth Enhancer. And what this does, it's an algorithm that can examine every frame that's run through the TV in real time and set a foreground, mid-ground, and a background to give the picture, to make the picture allow you to look further into the picture. It's not 3D. There's not things bouncing out at you or anything like that. It's meant to promote a more depth. So you're looking further into the image. It's like when you look out of a window, you can actually see in the distance that there is actually a foreground, middle ground, and a background. And that's what that is meant to promote. The other thing I quite liked about it is the multi-link. Multi-link is a feature where you can actually divide the TV screen in up to four different sections. And if you do divide it into four sections, each section is actually a full high-definition picture because, as we know, ultra-high definition is four times the resolution of full HD. So what you're looking at there is like having four full high-definition TVs stacked two on two on top of each other. So when you use Multilink to divide the screen into four, each quarter is actually a full HD resolution, and you can have a TV show in one corner, maybe a Blu-ray or some other source. You may have pay TV with free-to-air TV. There may be your Twitter feed running below. We all like to tweet during TV shows. Now you can see your feed as part of the screen. So that's another option with the Multilink feature. The curved shape, as I said, is really it's like the TV is sort of reaching out to hug you a little bit. The edges are coming out towards you. But it is a really sharp-looking TV, ultra-high definition. Not a lot of content out there just yet, but it is coming. The TV does have an upscaling ability as well, so if you have connected it to a full HD source like Blu-ray, for example, it will be able to upscale to near 4K quality, which is another name for ultra-high definition. You may see that other brands use 4K rather than ultra-high definition to describe those extra pixels. But in terms of the sizing and the pricing, let's talk that. The 55-inch curved HD, ultra HD TV is going to set you back $4,999. That's for the 55-inch. 65-inch curved Ultra HD LED, that's the Series 9, $6,999. And jumping up to the 78-inch, that's actually $10,000 more expensive. So that extra 13 inches from 65 to 78 is going to cost you $10,000 if you do want to go all the way. That's going to be available in June. The 65 and 55 inches are in store right now. Now, as I mentioned, there are straight TVs, flat TVs, still available. There's still going to be Ultra HD normal LED TVs. There's also going to be curved HD TVs, so not ultra high definition TVs. So the Series 8 curved HD and the Series 8 flat TVs are ultra high definition. So if you want a curve and ultra high definition, you're going to have to go for the Series 9. But I've listed all of those prices and all of those models, as well as images of the Samsung new curved ultra high definition TVs at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
Now, everyone loves to post things on social media, and what we like even better is that when our friends give us a like, give us a comment, share it, it sort of makes us feel a little bit more special. I'm sure there's no one out there listening who does not feel that. They put a picture on Instagram, they put something on Facebook, they may share a tweet, and if they don't get any likes, if it's not shown to be appreciated by our friends, some of us can feel a little bit down. Well, a study by the University of Queensland has actually confirmed that that loneliness and low self-esteem could actually be linked to the lack of likes on social media. Now, in this 21st century world that we live in, where social media is at the very front and center of our lives, in fact, a large part of our lives, the fact that we share information, share our status, share what we're doing, share pictures, links, all those sorts of things, the research from University of Queensland shows that we get a feeling of belonging and value when our friends like what we post. Now, the study that the University of Queensland did actually was two projects they ran side by side. Basically, they set up two groups. One group was set up to post frequently. The other group was set up to just observe. The other group was then meant to post or like a post from the first group and then ignore the second half of the group. And then following that, the study headed by Dr. Stephanie Tobin, she's from the head of the School of Psychology at the University of Queensland, they showed that feeling of belonging was related to the amount of likes that these people were getting on social media. When they didn't get it, they felt a little bit of social rejection. So that low self-esteem and loneliness has, as University of Queensland indicates here from their study, can lead to us feeling a little bit down, a little bit lonely, a little bit cut off. So my advice would be it doesn't hurt to share the likes. So get onto Facebook. If you haven't seen, a friend of yours has posted something a little while ago, there's no likes on that one, maybe give them a like. It's a click of a mouse. You never know. You may make that person feel a little bit better about themselves. You may improve their day slightly. But something like I said, social media is really a big part of people's lives now, and this is it's called social for a reason, because we like to interact, we like to feel like we're part of a group, and if we're not getting that social feeling, then of course we're going to feel like we're being left out. That loneliness, that low self-esteem is something that this University of Queensland study has proven is actual fact. This is the world we live in. It doesn't hurt to share the likes. Don't be stingy with your likes if you're on Facebook. Yeah, click on a few people's statuses. Click on a like. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost you any money, I think, but it does make that person feel a little bit better. You never know. You may prevent someone from having a bad day. You can give them a like and make them have a nice day. That's what liking it is all about. I don't think Facebook will ever. I think there have many people suggested an unlike button on Facebook where you don't like what people say. I think that'll drive more people to therapy than ever before. Thank goodness there's just the like button, but the lack of likes is what we need to avoid. Click on that like button to avoid the feeling of loneliness. If you want to read that full report and look at those research results, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, this is a story I'm very excited about. It is all about Call of Duty. Now, everyone knows who listens to this podcast or listens to Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long, our show that we do together. Everyone knows that I'm a big Call of Duty fan, and I was very excited to hear the news of the latest installment, which is out on November the 4th, 2014. It's going to be called Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Now, what sets this game apart from the others, I hear you ask? Well, there is a whole new gameplay mechanics in the latest title. It has been a 3-year production by Sledgehammer Games. That's the first game they've produced under Activision's supervision, of course. The first Call of Duty game that they have produced. But the big news here, and that none other than Academy Award-winning actor Kevin Spacey is going to be the star of the game. They've captured his likeness, uncanny likeness they've got, obviously using the latest motion capture, and of course he's lent his own voice to the game as well. He plays the main character in this game, and check out the trailer that I've linked on Tech Guide. It is a truly remarkable performance. I can't wait to see the whole game and to watch and hear his performance. I think that it really sort of goes a long way. I think what it's going to do is draw a lot of new players to the Call of Duty franchise. People who may have heard of it, may not have played it before, but having a name like Kevin Spacey involved, person of his caliber, an actor of his ability, I think that's going to draw a lot of new people to the franchise. Most recently, he starred in that terrific Netflix series House of Cards. Season 2 was just aired earlier this year. Season 1, of course, last year, and an excellent show. And what they did with that is they released all 13 episodes at once. So there was a lot of binge House of Cards watching, and Kevin Spacey probably no doubt built on his already large fan base with those series, and he's going to do the same thing again with Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Now, the game is set in 2054, and the world has been laid waste by a global attack. And a private military corporation, which I'm assuming Kevin Spacey is the head of, has now become humanity's best hope to rebuild and start again, but using the most advanced technology. This private military corporation has remarkable cutting-edge technology. Their soldiers are highly trained, advanced in these specialized units. One part of the game, and if you watch the trailer, you'll see this, that a lot of the soldiers are wearing this exoskeleton uniforms that give them extraordinary abilities, almost superhuman abilities. You see soldiers leaping high, you know, up high and for long distances, and they have like near superhuman strength. So they're kind of super soldiers that have been created using these exoskeleton uniforms. So this is shaping up. There was a game previously, Advanced Warfare. There was a game previously called Modern Warfare, which was actually the fourth Call of Duty game that was released, I think, back in 2000. and 7, if memory serves. But this is shaping up to be a truly remarkable game. The trailer, it really, you need to look at this trailer to appreciate the realism and the action that is going to be packed into this game. And you got to remember, this is being developed for next generation consoles. So we're talking PlayStation 4, Xbox One. The sort of processing power these machines have got, I think we're in for quite a ride when Call of Duty Advanced Warfare arrives on November the 4th. I, for one, will be in line at midnight to get my copy of the game. We'll probably stay up all night and finish it and then head into the multiplayer mode, which is a favorite of mine. If you're a PlayStation Network player, check out, look for me online, Sharky68, so Sharky and with the letter 6 and then 8 spelled out, Sharky68. If you find yourself in the lobby with me on my team, that's good, you're good luck. If you find you're against me, then I'm coming to get you. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare comes out in November, and if you want to see that trailer for the new game, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly supported by Netgear, and they've got their latest AC750 Wi-Fi range extender. Now, what this does, this can give your home Wi-Fi a boost. This new AC750 Wi-Fi range extender, the model number is EX6100. You can optimize your existing network, your Wi-Fi network, and extend it in those hard-to-reach places around your home, those places in your home where you've got your tablet, you've got your smartphone, and the Wi-Fi is not quite reaching. The EX6100 can deliver that fast Wi-Fi speed and connectivity all around the house for your smartphones, tablets, laptops, and more, allowing you to enjoy your favorite entertainment throughout your home. It comes in a convenient wall plug design, and this extender also has special indicator lights to help you find the best location to put this device. So what this is designed to do is to extend and boost your network. Netgear did some research to find that a lot of people were putting these in the wrong place and not getting the full benefit of the product. The indicator lights can actually have arrows so they can direct you when you're moving throughout the home. It will direct you then to locate the right spot for that extender. It does have two modes. It's got extender mode as well as that boosts your existing Wi-Fi, or there's an access point mode, so you can create an all-new AC Wi-Fi access point in your home. The EX6100 AC750 Wi-Fi range extender from Netgear is available now, and if you want to check it out, you can do that at netgear.com.au.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick.
Tech Guide.
Alrighty, let's kick off the reviews with Sony's new Xperia Z2 waterproof Android tablet. Now, when Sony released the first Xperia tablet, it was really a remarkable device. Everyone was just amazed at how thin the product was, how well designed it was, and on top of that, it was waterproof, just like their Xperia Z smartphones as well. Well, the Xperia Z2 has moved in the right direction. It doesn't look a whole lot different to the Xperia Z1. It is a little bit thinner. It's actually 6.4 millimeters thick. I think you can only really appreciate how thin that is when you hold it in your hand. It is remarkable. And being Sony, it does bring together a lot of the great technology from across the Sony company, namely display technology. The screen on this is probably one of the better screens I've seen on a tablet. It's got their tri-luminous technology, which is used on their Bravia TVs, as well as the X-Reality engine, which is also helps the tablet great to produce terrific lifelike and vibrant colors. As I mentioned, the Z2 is supermodel thin, 6.4 millimeters thick, and they're saying that it is actually the world's thinnest and lightest waterproof tablet, and it is waterproof. Now we're not saying you can spray a bit of water on the screen and wipe it off. You can actually dunk this underwater. You can have a bath with this tablet. You can have a shower with this tablet if you must. If there's an e-book that you just can't put down, you can still read it in the shower or in the bath, or a game that you're playing, something you're reading on the internet, you don't have to stop just because you have to bathe. That's how the Z2 works. Waterproof, also dustproof. And what it is, it gives you, there are little door. There's a door, I think, for the micro SD card slot. There's a door for the USB micro USB charging port. And there are waterproof, watertight little doors that these have to be closed before you put it underwater. Now, it's got a 10.1-inch screen. And as I mentioned, got Triluminous X Reality on board. It is a gorgeous-looking display. But I noted in my review, there is still quite a wide bezel around the screen. Now, the bezel is that frame that goes around the screen. It's almost 2 centimeters wide in the case of the Xperia Z2. And we got to thinking, imagine if that was a thinner bezel. So they could actually fit in the same size tablet. They could fit probably an 11.5, possibly even a 12-inch screen within that framework. Imagine that edge-to-edge display without actually having to make the actual product any wider or longer, maybe thicker. I'm not sure. Maybe that's why it's not so thick, because they can pack a lot of that stuff in that bezel area. But that was just us thinking out loud as a way that Sony could really differentiate the next one. As I mentioned, the 10.1-inch screen is terrific. It's got a quad-core processor. We're talking here a Qualcomm Snapdragon quad-core 2.3 gigahertz processor, and of course running Android's latest Android 4.4 KitKat operating system. So it is a snappy performer, this one. It has got this quad-core processor. Apps open straight away. Very easy to scroll. Very smooth operation. There's an 8.8 megapixel camera, rear camera. 2.2 front-facing camera as well. The rear camera takes decent photos. It doesn't have a flash, so you're out of luck if you want to take photos in low light conditions. You probably have to use your smartphone for those ones. There are features built in, of course, like direct access to Sony content, movies, music, games. There's also, speaking of games, there's PlayStation. So there is a PlayStation platform you can access and even control using your PlayStation DualShock 3 controller. So it's like you're playing your console on the go with this Xperia Z2 tablet. If you're in the Sony family, if you're a PlayStation 4 or 3 user, and you can even control your TV with this device as well, if it's a Sony TV, you can even control other brand TVs as well. If you're looking for a stylish, durable tablet, I think this is definitely worth the consideration. Starts at $599 for the 16-gig Wi-Fi only, and goes all the way up to $749 for the Wi-Fi plus 4G model. If you want to check out my full review, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, I know there's a lot of people who carry around their phones and their keys, and sometimes they leave them behind. We can be a bit forgetful. You put down your keys or your phone, you may be picking up a coffee or doing something else. Your mind just sort of wanders just for 1 second, you walk off and you've left your phone behind, and you don't realize it until you try to use it later on, and sometimes that could be too late. You could have driven off and your phone is left behind. Someone could have picked it up. Same thing goes for your keys. How many times have you lost your keys? You can't find your keys in your home, at work, anywhere. Well, there's a product that can actually help you avoid this from happening. It's from Elgato, and it's called the Smart Key. Now, what the Smart Key is, it's a small little fob, about the size of a 50-cent piece, can go on your key ring. It links wirelessly to your iPhone and to the companion app using Bluetooth. Now, the basics here are that when these two products are separated, you get a notification. So in the case where you've picked up your coffee, you've left your phone on the counter, and you've walked out, your keys are in your pocket, then you'll get an alert to say, hang on a minute, you've forgotten something. This, that you've broken the Bluetooth range, and the alarm then sounds on the Elgato Smart Key to say, hang on a minute, you left your phone behind, and you go back and get it. I'm sure there's a few people that would have loved to have had this product. They may have walked out, left keys, left phones, other belongings behind. Well, with this product, though, that's a thing of the past. And it works the other way, too. So if you can't find your keys, for example, you can use the iPhone app to find them. So it works both ways. When you're separated, when either are separated, you'll get a notification. So with those basics in mind, there are still a lot of uses for this, apart from helping you not be forgetful. Obviously, that's the main motive here for this product, the main use for this product. But there are other ways you can use that. For example, you could leave your Elgato Smart Key in your car. So it's attached to your keys. You left it in your car, and because Elgato, through the app, it can actually link where it knows where the device is, where the Elgato was last located on GPS. So, for example, you leave the keys in your car with the Elgato fob on there, the smart keys on there. Your iPhone app can then remember the GPS position where you left it. So, in other words, where your car is. So, when you come back later, you'll know exactly where the car is. Another clever use is for travelers. Now, you can pack the Elgato smart key in your checked-in luggage and then choose to receive an alert on your iPhone when the bag is approaching. Now, the only way when it gets close enough to give you the alert is when it's actually near you on the carousel. So rather than you having to see if there's every second bag, is that my bag? Is that my bag? Oh, hang on, that looks like my bag. Now it's not my bag. You can now use the Elgato smart key to tell you when your luggage is arriving on the carousel, which is a really handy use. Now, rather than you looking at the bags, wasting 20 minutes of your time, you could be going through emails and getting some work done or some other, making calls, whatever you can do. But now the smart key can tell you when your bag is approaching on the carousel. A very handy use of that as well. But there are other ways you can use it too. You can attach that fob, the smart key, to a bag, to your camera bag, a handbag, to other belongings of yours, so that when you're separated from those belongings, then you get an alert. Now, imagine this scenario too. I'm sure plenty of people have heard that, you know, you put a bag down and some sly thief tries to walk off with a bag. Well, imagine being notified when that happens, if it happens, and you can do something about it. Oftentimes, people are distracted, the bag's taken away, and before they know it, the person that's gone, and the person's stolen your bag. Well, with the Elgato smart key, you can help avoid that. Now, the device, as I said, it's pretty small. It's also IP65, so it's certified to be water and dust proof. And the best news of all, it's affordable. It's only $69 and available in Apple stores. And you can also download the Elgato smartphone app for free. It's only for iPhone at the moment. I don't think there's an Android version out yet, but I think they're working on one. But iPhone users who want to get on board with the Elgato smart key can do that. And it's priced at just $69. And if you want to see what it looks like, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
Now, I love a big picture at home. I'm a home theater fan. I've got lucky enough to have a dedicated room here. I've got my own home theater. And the only way to really get the big picture, in my opinion, to get that real cinema-like feel is with a projector. Now, there are plenty of models on the market, and years ago, projectors used to be very expensive. I remember I paid a lot of money for my first projector. It was only a 1080i projector. It was only HD projector, and then moved up to a full HD projector. And because over time, things get a bit cheaper, the full HD projector was actually cheaper, you know, a few years later, of course, than the original projector that I bought. Now, the good news is that it's come down even further. If you're after a full high-definition projector, prices are very, very consumer-friendly. The one that I looked at on Tech Guide this week was from ViewSonic, a company well-known for creating computer monitors and TVs. And the Pro 8520 HD projector offers quality and value. It's a full HD projector, so it gives you a full 1920 by 1080 resolution. It's got a brightness of 5,000 lumens. That's how they measure brightness on a projector. It's in lumens. It's also got a contrast ratio of 15,000 to 1, and it's designed to be a home theater projector as well as being a conference room projector too. So it does work well if there's a bit of ambient light. There are some projectors that only work well in the dark. This is a projector that you could easily use during the day, not with glaringly bright sunlight, I should say, but It does work pretty well, even if there is a little bit of light around. But of course, in the dark, it was even better and even easier to see the picture. Now, the ViewSonic projector has a few built-in features. It has actually a lens that actually, it's a 1.5 times zoom lens, so that actually offers 40% greater picture size than a normal projector, which is really good news. If you're going for that big screen feel, you can project an image up to 300 inches in size. And that all-glass optical zoom lens, that helps that get up to that size and create an image up to 40% larger than a conventional projector, as I mentioned. So imagine this, it's priced, I should say, say, at $3,399, which is reasonable when you think about if you wanted to buy a 100-inch television, for example, you'd be paying $30,000, maybe more, probably more. Well, you think if you can still project a 100-inch image for $3,399. Now, it should be pointed out that with the projector, you don't have speakers, you don't have a TV tuner, so this is a product designed to be integrated into a home theater system. So if you do have a home theater speaker system and you already have a digital set-top box so you can watch TV, and you got a Blu-ray player, of course, to watch your movies, then this is a kind of setup that will work for people. So don't think that, okay, I'm going to buy a projector and I need nothing else. That's not the case. But a TV, of course, when you buy that, has speakers. It has a built-in digital TV tuner, and that's all in one. But it doesn't produce a picture as big as this projector. So it does have its advantages. If you do want to go the big screen with a bigger screen look, that cinema feel, then a projector like this, like the ViewSonic Pro 8520 HD projector, is well worth checking out. There's all your normal inputs, two HDMI inputs, and all your other inputs as well. It's got Wi-Fi as well with when you attach an adapter, so you can actually project. You can stream content from up to four different PCs to the projector at once. Well worth checking out if you're in the market for a projector. The ViewSonic Pro 8520 HD projector, priced at $3,399. And if you want to check out what it looks like, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Our help desk today actually is a question that we've plucked from our forum. A reader named Mark posed this question on the Tech Guide forum, and I'm actually going to look it up right now, so I'll make sure I get his name right and the question right. The question was that he's an Optus customer with a modem, not very happy with the Wi-Fi performance, and he was hoping to connect. He was asking if he could connect the Netgear Nighthawk router, which is the new 802.11ac. All the bells and whistles router, high-speed router. He was asking, Mark K is his initials, and he did say at the bottom of his question, he said, look forward to your answer, and he listens to the podcast, and I just let him know on the end of my reply that we're going to actually be talking about his question in this episode of Tech Guide, episode 95. But my answer to him was, yes, you can connect a Netgear Nighthawk to your Optus modem. And how do I know that? Because that's exactly what I've done here in my home, in the Tech Guide home office, the Tech Guide studio. Our Optus wireless network has been supplemented by the Netgear Nighthawk. So we've got two more networks, the 802.11ac networks. Now we've connected, but with a cable, the Nighthawk to our Optus modem, and now there are two more networks. There are two 802.11ac networks. So if you've got the latest smartphones, like latest Samsung, HTC tablets and smartphones, if you've got a MacBook Air that's got 802.11ac as well, or the latest laptops 802.11ac, you're going to get a faster connection. So the answer to Mark's question, he asked that the network it doesn't quite reach in many parts of the home, the range in their two-story house, they struggle a little bit, and it is an Optus, it's a Cisco router that he's using. And I did reply, yes, Netgear Nighthawk does offer not only faster connections, but offers a bit more range. I found that I've got a two-story home here upstairs that my children can now receive a much stronger signal, even in the opposite end of the house. I can still stream music upstairs from when the router's located downstairs. I could not do that before I had the Netgear Nighthawk. So, Mark, yes, go ahead. Buy that Netgear Nighthawk and connect it to your Optus modem. You'll be very pleased with the results. Extra range, faster speeds, and you'll keep everyone in your household happy. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that's our show for another week. We hope you enjoyed it. Everything we've talked about on the show can be read at techguide.com.au. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been awesome having your company. We look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.